This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George has got the weekend off. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. I was surprisingly warm at my house this morning I walked out. I thought it was going to be cold.
It was warm at my house, too. You could feel my feet, but it was kind of chilly down here. It's like moist down here.
Yeah. It must be just being closer to the coast.
I guess so.
We moved closer to the storm. We all drove to the west. We're closer to the cold storm, and that's why.
That's true. It could be.
It's on its way. It didn't look like it this morning, though. Beautiful, almost full moon.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't see the full moon. It was cloudy out of my house. I could see the glow, but I couldn't see the actual moon.
It was beautiful this morning. And it was warm. I was surprised.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean,
and I was also surprised it wasn't cloudier when in the East County.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But it is cloudy coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, what's the story with that?
We're going to have some rain today. Later today, in the noon to 6 hour, they're saying moderate rain. And then tomorrow, Sunday morning, is when the bulk of it, I guess, is coming through.
Oh, wow.
And you said that they're, I heard that they're expecting up to 10 inches of snow in the mountains.
In our mountains?
Above 5,000. But there's not going to be that much above 5,000 in our mountains, but that's a lot of snow.
That is a lot of snow.
For us.
I was paying attention to the rain.
Yeah.
Because it's about me.
Yeah.
I thought you guys knew that.
Yeah, we do.
And there's
we just try to ignore it.
Exactly. Most areas of the county should have between a half and three quarters of an inch of rain, and then there's a line where it should be between an inch and a half. And I'm very close to that line.
To the inch and a half line?
Yes. Oh. So I'm hopeful.
Well, now you got those three new holes in your driveway and it can drain into.
That was a very interesting process.
What happened?
It sounds like
I didn't hear about this.
Well, I think I mentioned last week that my water meter was running, but I couldn't find any water anywhere.
They found it.
And then I was listening to the radio either during our show or on my way here or Friday,
I heard
ads for CPL. Yeah.
Yes.
Cable pipe and leak.
And they found it.
Called them on Monday, and they came out on Tuesday. And it's a very precise kind of a process of finding this and how they do it. And he listened to all my valves and couldn't hear anything. And then he hooked up this clapper to the spigot and turns on the water, and water comes pulsing out, and that sends sound through the pipes. And he goes and marks all the pipes, and then he pushed air through the pipe and listened again and then followed the air up the pipe. And his first X on my driveway, of course, it's not over dirt.
It's right in
the middle of the biggest part of my driveway.
Right.
But he found it. And so Monday, somebody's coming out to dig down and find it.
Wow.
Anyway, it was...
Interesting process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I let him do his job, which he said was nice, that some people try and help
when
they come out to work. And
it sounds like something you might do.
Well, I showed him where the spigots were, and then I got out of the way. And anyway, if you have a meter running and you don't know where your water's coming from,
I highly recommend
CPL.
Very good.
Yeah.
It was nice. And we're going to get rain, so...
Yeah,
so you
don't
shut off the
water anyway, so that's good.
A summer bill in the winter isn't a great thing.
No. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We do have classes at both stores today, and classes at both stores will be under roof, so you don't have to worry. If it is sprinkling or raining, you're still going to be dry. At 9 o'clock in San Diego, it's tomatoes with Sierra and Kathleen, and in Poway at 9:30, it's going to be San Diego spiders with Randy.
The Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man, yeah. A very popular class. He taught one last year, I think, for us.
And the year before. He brings in a nice PowerPoint presentation, and people really enjoy it.
Yeah, so should
the
be.
The good things about spiders?
Yes.
I guess there are some.
There's lots of good things about spiders. Lots of good things, yeah. People just don't give them a chance.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, they serve a purpose.
Yeah.
I always like them crawling across the floor in the bathroom. You know, that's always fun. And a lot of people now are starting to suggest you save your spiders and take them outside and let them go free.
Oh, Blake does it all the time.
Yeah.
If he sees a spider in the house, he goes and gets a cup and a piece of paper. And
yeah, something to trap it.
Takes it out. He will not kill a spider in the house.
Yeah, I mean.
So if he's at home and I see a spider,
give me a yell.
Yeah, you go take care of that.
I'm not going to name names because that would be indiscreet, but I know somebody who did that with an ant out of the toilet bowl. An ant fell into the toilet bowl. I don't know how it got there. I don't know why. It was not my toilet bowl. I need to clarify that. But it was an ant.
Mm.
And not A-U-N-T.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
a little hardcore. Oh, well.
Yeah. Can't pick your family.
Let's see. What do we got? What else have we got going on here?
Oh, Balboa Park. Is there something going on there?
I think there's a Japanese flower arranging show today.
It's a different one.
It's Tekasumi or something like that. Yeah, I didn't recognize it.
So. Okay.
But yeah, that is going on this weekend. And construction is continuing on the horticultural building up there. I'm hoping they're going to get that done soon. I actually think it's next year that they're going to finish it, but it should be interesting when it's all done since they expanded it. Do you have anything new on citrus greening?
No.
Other than appears to be a lack of awareness in San Diego for it?
That we need to get the word out beyond Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRC.
They should be announcing it on the news. Yeah.
That's. I'm going to head to, I think I'll head out to Sean next. Yeah. Because the number of people that are unaware of the citrus issue
is staggering.
It really is.
Yeah,
and
it is.
The only way we're going to control it is if backyard growers control the Asian citrus.
If we control it.
We do. We have.
People.
And that's
backyard gardeners.
We have to get that word out because the everybody down here in Southern California almost has a citrus tree in their yard. And if they allow the psyllids free reign over their trees, then that is the vector. That is what spreads the disease. And if we control the vector, then we can slow dramatically the spread of the disease.
The spread.
And so
I think we've been pretty lucky that it hasn't gotten more out of hand.
Agreed.
Than it already has.
And that's why we need to do something about it.
And how long, when did I'm just trying to figure out the timeline on this. I want to say it's like 2015 or something like that. Oh, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
When they
that's a great question.
They first found it down in, Sweetwater.
About the psyllid.
The psyllid.
Not the disease.
No, the psyllid they found in. And Sweetwater a long time ago. But that's when this whole thing started.
And they were, at that point in time, trying to prevent the spread of the psyllid. And they were treating in my area.
Mm-hmm.
The ag department was coming out and treating trees when they found them. And they treated up to across the street from my house. But I think they were pretty diligent about trying to control the spread of the bug for a year or so, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that battle.
They lost control of it. So.
And then that infected tree was found in Whittier. I'm trying to find out when that was, when that happened.
Wow.
But they found the infected tree in Whittier, and because the bug was ubiquitous by that point, that was it.
The door was open.
Genie had been let out of the bottle.
Yeah.
As they say, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, If you have citrus in your yard at home, leave it at home. Don't transport it around. Even fruit. I mean, a lot of people don't realize this, but the insects can be carried on fruit as well. So just don't don't move stuff around.
Right.
You know, just leave it where it's at. So, and everything that we have in both of our stores has been treated. When you come in, you'll see, when you see it, it'll have the tags on it that show that it's, that verifies that it has been treated for it. So that it is safe to move around. It is safe to move from the nursery to your house. But once it gets, once it gets to your house,
you can't
move it again.
Right.
But that, if you're in the quarantine area, that is the rule.
Yeah. But, you know, there's not a lot of citrus available right now, unfortunately.
No, not nice stuff.
No. Although those the last order of sleeves that we got in, those were
gorgeous.
Those were really nice. And we do still have some. We have a few varieties left in the sleeves. I was surprised how much we had sold out on those. I was looking for something for a customer the other day. And what was the, there was a weird one that we got in. The Sudachi?
Oh, Sudachi lemon.
Is it a lemon or is it like a, somebody, I was waiting on a customer and she had picked one up and she had looked it up and she said it was more like a yuzu.
Okay. I think it is similar to that. Similar, I mean, it's the way it's used, but
it's more for cooking and.
Yeah, so just a sour lemon or lime. But yeah, those sleeves we got in, they were, 4 feet tall?
Wow.
And
they were very, very nice. And as promised, it took an extra week. But what did I drop off? Drop off at your house this morning?
A nice limequat.
Very excited. I got him as limequat.
Oh.
As promised, it wasn't just an on-air David, you know, just saying things.
I don't think I've ever had a limequat before.
Yeah.
I did.
Or David did.
It's quite sour.
I was going to say, are they more sour than a regular kumquat?
Well, it is, and it is a cross between a lime, I think a Mexican lime, and a kumquat. Yeah. And you get the sourness of the lime, but you get the cold hardiness of a kumquat, and the kumquats are very cold hardy. So Mark doesn't have to worry about that.
Right.
But it extends the lime growing region for people, and they can grow a lime-flavored fruit outside of the traditional areas where frost would normally damage or kill them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's the beauty of the limequat.
You learn something new every day.
That's what I'm here for.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George has got the day off today. I don't know what caused me to look it up, but we have a sheet at the nursery that has San Diego County invasive ornamental plants. And it's kind of interesting looking through it, some of the stuff that's on there. One of our growers grows pampas grass, which is
really I didn't think you could do that anymore.
Well,
they grow
interesting.
They grow thousands of them.
Okay,
but they can't ship them in the state of California.
Oh, okay.
But they can send them out of California.
Okay.
Even though they're grown in California, where they're not allowed to be used.
Interesting.
Now, did that differentiate between the sterile and non-sterile? Do you know?
No, I don't believe it did.
They just say no.
They just say no. And you know, come to think of it, I don't see. You used to see pampas grass.
It's true.
Fairly frequently.
Right.
And we used to sell a lot of it.
Correct.
Back in the day, but I just don't. You just don't see it around.
I think
it's pretty much been eradicated from.
Agreed.
From what I can tell.
Trying to think. There is a pampas grass clump growing somewhere where I travel regularly, and it's right next to the road. I'll have to have some memory recall at some point and try and figure out where that is, because there is very little.
Yeah, it's not in this area. There's not a lot of it.
When I was growing up, we used to have it in our backyard and in the Cunninghams' backyard. And I remember Mr. Cunningham digging it up and then burning the root ball that was there.
That was a
long time ago.
Oh, another one that's on here that's kind of Phoenix canariensis is considered invasive.
Really?
Yeah. It seeds pretty easily.
Yeah, I guess
I've never seen one grow from seed.
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Yeah, the weevil destroyed them.
Right, right.
My parents planted one at their house in the late 50s, and there were three enormous ones under it and just a little off to the side.
I've seen
probably 20 feet of trunk on the seedlings.
I've seen Washington or Mexican fan palms grow like crazy. Usually
under power lines.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. They come up in clumps under power lines. Man, those things grow fast.
They do.
It's pretty wild. One of the other interesting ones that was on here, Brazilian pepper tree.
Before you go on from that, so the Mexican fan palms are not on there because they're a native species?
No, they're on here.
Oh, they are on there. Okay.
What's the other Washingtonia?
It's Robusta. The Mexican.
Well, Robusta is Mexican.
Oh, that's right.
But there's the other one.
Folifera.
Washingtonia folifera. Yeah. Tamarisk is on here, which I thought was a native. The one that kind of cracked me up was, where'd it go?
You're not going to say.
Dimorphotheca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because they spread it all over the highways. Yeah. It's in full bloom.
That's the yellow and orange that most people are probably seeing blooming on the side of the roads right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Algerian ivy is on this list.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising.
Well, that is surprising because it.
Myoporum latum is on the list.
Really?
Yeah. Which I that would never occur.
I've never seen it
be
volunteer myoporum.
No.
Yeah.
No. If anything, it should be on a list of don't plant it because it gets
thrips
so bad.
All right. What else is on there?
I'm looking. There was something else. Nasturtium.
I see it all over the canyon.
That I could see.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean
Rose Canyon, San Clemente Canyon. Yeah. It's full of it.
They should rename it Nasturtium Canyon.
Cistus, I know, or Cytisus, the Scotch broom. Although we used to sell a lot of that.
We did.
Yeah. And people still ask for it because it has those nice fragrant yellow flowers.
Yes.
And Genista, too.
Cytisus was Genista back in the day, so I don't know if it's
changing names and
yeah. There's a couple of eucalyptus varieties on here, Asparagus asparagoides, the Smilax, which I don't see that much anymore either.
It volunteers out in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, it used to. I mean, it was at my grandparents' house and the twisted juniper out front. There used to be a ton of it.
Yeah,
growing in there.
If you don't get the roots, the corms that are down there, I guess it's a tuber.
Highway ice plant is on here as well.
Is that the pickleweed, the coarse one?
Yeah.
That's not invasive.
Well, they say it is. Maybe it's invasive because they planted it all over the state.
Everywhere. Who are they? Whose list is that?
I think this is the county. So, anyway.
Don't see that ice plant spreading out of where it's planted.
It doesn't
pop up down the street and around the corner. No. It'll grow through the fence.
You know what I'm surprised is not on there because it's incredibly invasive is Equisetum.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks really cool in a container, but man, if you put it in the ground,
it's like bamboo.
I had a customer that had it at their house. It was popping up on the other side of the house.
Right.
So,
it makes a really nice screen in an enclosed planter on concrete. You know, it used along a sidewalk to separate off a little area or something.
Right.
It is a neat upright, but boy, it is.
But once it's
Once it gets going, it's hard to get rid of.
Man, it is almost impossible to get it completely under control.
Okay, I've had enough of the negative tone of our show this morning. Let's talk about pretty flowers or something.
Oh, rhododendrons.
Dahlias,
we've got
rhododendrons.
We've got the true rhododendrons in stock in Poway right now, like you see in the South. Okay. And they are, the ones that are in bloom right now are just amazing. There's a, there was a red one out in the shade house that was absolutely incredible. And then the rest of them that we have are all budded up and getting ready to go. But if you're from an area where they grow a lot of rhododendrons and you want to try one in your yard, we've got some now.
Plant them in straight azalea mix here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Straight acid mix. Yeah. Or plant azaleas because they grow well
they
here.
They do well.
Yeah.
Gosh, my dad was always very, very proud of his azaleas, his George Tabers and Phoenicias.
Phoenicias, that's a beautiful plant.
Yeah, I like that. That's like probably the color of that. Yeah,
it's probably my favorite of the.
I like the George Tabor better.
Eh, it's a little washed out for me, but
compared to a Phoenicia, absolutely. Yeah. That dark, rich purple of the Phoenicia, but usually in a George Tabor, you'll get little bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little more subtle, like me.
And Tabor will sport usually too.
Yes.
So that's all. You never know what you're going to get when something it's sports. Won't be, if the weather keeps warming up, it won't be too long until citrus leaf miner is going to be
popping up,
coming back in.
Well, I'm kind of curious as to what it's going to do this year. So normally the citrus leaf miner shows up in mid to late May.
Mm-hmm.
In the past 5 or 10 years, it's always been mid to late May, and that's the little larva, the moth larva that tunnels through the surface of the leaf and separates off the silvery cuticle and makes the wavy lines. Mm-hmm. And then as summer arrives, it burns the heck out of that portion of the leaf and the leaf curls around.
Mm-hmm.
It. But last year, I'm guessing because we had an actual winter, it didn't show up until late June or July.
It was late last year.
It was very late. And I had some on my pumelo in December. I actually sprayed. I actually got out my
Captain Jack's
and used it, and it worked. So I'm curious as to whether or not this year it's going to do the same thing, or if we're going to go back to mid to late May.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It'd be nice if it didn't come back at all.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to work out for us.
Probably.
You're right.
Probably not. But anyway, as the new foliage on your citrus starts coming out, keep an eye out on it, because that's where you're going to find it first.
And also, while you're looking for citrus leaf miner on the new foliage of your citrus, look for Asian citrus psyllid, that tiny little bug that gets onto the new growth at a 45-degree angle, because if you see that, spray for it.
Well, you know, we recommend spraying 3 or 4 times a year with horticultural oil anyway, and horticultural oil will take care of the psyllid, along with scale and
everything else.
Except for the leaf miner.
Because the leaf miner is protected by the leaf.
Yeah.
Right.
So you need a product that'll get into that leaf.
Yeah,
a product
which is what?
Translaminar, don't you know?
Exactly.
It penetrates the leaf without moving all the way through the system of the plant. So I guess that's the difference between systemic and translaminar.
Gotcha.
You know, George is missing all these great lines. I'm just so sad he's not here for this morning.
Yeah, he should be some. Now, was he leaving today? Or
did he
leave yesterday?
He's there.
He is in Prescott.
Okay.
Sounds like biscuit, only it's Prescott.
Yeah.
That's what the driver told me on my way from Phoenix to Prescott. But I think he leaves Prescott today. So.
Oh, hopefully he's not going to get caught in the storm.
He probably will on his way home. He's going to have to be on his way home. I mean, it's got to go through Arizona. And he's got to come this way, so they're gonna.
It's
George
going to,
and this path going. Are going to, and this storm are going to cross paths.
Well, then hopefully he'll take the 10 and not have to go through the mountains.
Right.
So.
Catch snow.
We're not expecting that much snow.
Well,
you know, roses this time of the year are just going crazy, but stay vigilant on it and keep your eyes open for powdery mildew, rust, black spot, aphids. Try to get ahead of it. If you see it, start treating it early rather than wait until it gets out of control, because once it takes hold, it's a lot harder to control it than it is when it's first setting out.
I had a little speaking engagement on Thursday with the Bernardo Gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be talking to them about Captain Jack's for the citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonide is starting to use that Captain Jack's logo for things other than just the Spinosad, than the Dead
oh,
Bug
I
Brew.
That. That's right.
So that brought me to a story about blue bottles
labels,
of bio-advanced
right?
products. Yeah. And somehow, Ken, your name came up when I was talking to that group about it.
I don't doubt it.
Because what was the reason that I mentioned it to him? I forgot. It was all the way back on Thursday. What happened that
don't just grab the bottle, read the label that's on it.
Because it could be an herbicide instead of the erosion.
It happens.
Okay. I just wanted to let people know that, we're normal.
Always read the label anyway.
Yes.
Well, see, that's and the Captain Jack story brings up. Yeah, that's not the only one.
They've all done it.
The name is the trademark. You can put anything you want in the bottle. It's Captain Jack's.
See, now you're deflecting. We were talking about you.
Well, I know, but it's the same thing. Same thing with Bonide 8.
Yes. Right.
I think we have three or four different Bonide 8 products on the shelf, and I think it's three different active ingredients.
Yes. You are correct.
So you got it.
And so you turned this me poking straight at you. You turned it into
a general discussion.
It's easy to make those mistakes.
Same thing with 7. Yeah. 7's not carbaryl anymore.
No.
It's similar to 8. It's the ingredients, but it's different items.
I think it's one of the thrins.
It is.
Yeah.
To borrow a John Ford.
Yeah. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back.
Don't say it, Ken.
I'm not going to say anything.
Thank you.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go down to Otay Mesa where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm reading the directions of Monterey horticulture oil for fruit trees, and I'm wondering why they're not specific. They say as needed when you spray.
Well, it's a contact kill, so and you start seeing the insects, you start spraying, but because you may control it with one spraying necessarily, so you just use it as you see the insects. You could use it once a month if you'd like, but you want to make sure the things aren't in flower, so you just use it as needed.
And I think it says full bloom. Don't spray when it's in full
bloom. In full bloom, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and you know, if you are certain that you have no insects on your trees, then you don't need, the spray is not needed. But I can pretty much guarantee you that there's going to be something on there that you're going to want to get under control.
And that's why we recommend you use it regularly during the year, because frequently you don't see the bugs that are there, and the horticultural oil is going to smother it. And the as needed also is because you can use it as often as you need to do it, because the bugs aren't going to
There's no waiting period or anything.
And tolerance.
They're not going to develop a tolerance to it. It's an outstanding control. It works really, really well.
So you can't overdo it?
Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
Right. I mean, depending on the weather, there's all kinds of issues.
And you can't overdo it if you do it as it's labeled. You can overdo it by using too much. I wouldn't think using it too often would be a problem.
No, I wouldn't think so.
And the Monterey oil has less temperature sensitivity than some of the other oils because it emulsifies better. And I've sprayed it in probably summertime. At times when you shouldn't do it, and it hasn't had. I haven't had any problems with it.
Yeah, because I'm wondering how many people really know what as needed means. I guess that's why we need you guys.
Well, we're always happy to help.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing on spiders. Uh-huh. I capture spiders. I have a tube about 18 inches, about 1 inch in diameter. It has a little motor, and it has a cap on it, and I just suck in the spider and then put the cap back on it and take it outside and throw it away. You can buy something like that on Amazon or something. I have two around the house, so all my spiders are captured and let loose.
Oh, very nice.
Very good.
Very good.
Bob's a better man than I.
Yeah. Anything else this weekend, Bob?
That should do it.
Okay, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Stay dry down there.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, take care.
You know, I saw in my house the other day, it's not a spider, it's not a scorpion, but it's got about 50 legs on it, and it kind of looks fuzzy, but it's supposed to be a beneficial.
You're like a centipede?
Well, it's kind of like a centipede, only the legs are much longer, and it is it looks really spooky, but you're supposed to keep them because they kill bad bugs.
I can't think of it.
I'll find
it. You're going to try to figure it out?
Yeah.
Okay. George posted an interesting article on our Garden Talk Facebook page, and it's a 20 common urban pollinators, and it's about San Diego County. San Diego County has over 650 species of native bees.
Wow.
Just in San Diego County. I had no idea.
Nor did I.
But they have a list of 20 pollinators that are some of the most common visitors that you'll see in your yard. Number one on the list is bumblebees, which I don't remember the last time I saw a bumblebee.
Yeah.
They used to be
prevalent anymore.
All the time, but you just don't see them very often anymore. But anyway, bumblebees is one. Furrow bees, which I've never heard of before. Furrow bees, sweat bees.
Yeah.
I don't think we have those around.
Or
they're misnamed.
Striped and green sweat bees, digger bees, hoverflies, H-O-V. Yeah, I guess that is hover.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, that's my word.
Yes. Yeah. I have to get your name.
Okay. Bee flies, ladybugs. I didn't know lady beetles. I didn't know that they were considered a pollinator. I thought they fed off of aphids.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Oh, it's called a house centipede, not to interrupt you.
Okay.
Yes. And they are, when they're in motion, they kind of just float. I mean, that's what it looked like, but they're spooky looking.
Yeah, they are. Soft-wing flower beetles are another one. Tumbling flower beetles.
Is there a picture of a soft-wing flower beetle?
Right in the middle.
What is that?
Longhorn bees.
Oh, that's that little shimmering beetle that eats white flowers.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a pollinator too, huh?
I guess so. It's crawling around in the flower. Mining bees. There's a lot of things I haven't heard of. Crabinid wasps. That's a new one for me. Vespid wasps. Although they will go after caterpillars. Cloudless sulfurs, which is a type of butterfly. Cabbage whites. Which is, I'm guessing that's a cabbage moth.
Yeah.
It says that their larvae plague crops such as cabbage, bok choy, broccoli, and other cruciferous vegetables.
Right. Well, Mark would say that's okay, right? We don't need those cruciferous vegetables anyway.
Fiery skippers and sandhill skippers, those are the little orange butterflies that you used to see all the time in the summertime flying around. Marine blues, another type of butterfly, and funeral dusky wings, which is another butterfly. So anyway, there's a lot of pollinators going around in San Diego.
Right.
You just don't realize it. And, you know, I find it interesting that as much interest as people put in European honeybees, those are not native. That's why they're called European honeybees.
Back off, mister. Leave my bees out of this.
I'm just saying there's a lot of other pollinators out there besides yeah. besides European honeybees. They're all just working in the background. And I don't think anybody raises bees other than European honeybees that I know of.
No, I mean, I'm just looking at you because I'm thinking about how much I enjoy the bees coming through when right now with all the fruit trees in full bloom at the house. Right. And we had some warm, sunny weather, so the bees have been out, and I've been very happy.
Oh no, I think it's fantastic, and they're amazing to watch and see what they're doing.
You are not bad mouthing honeybees.
No.
You are just illuminating.
I'm just saying that there's a lot more bees out there than European honeybees, but it's the European honeybees
they
that seem get to all
get,
the
all, headlines.
The, that
see,
get
exactly.
all the attention.
Well, it's because they have better PR people working for them.
Well, that could be. Yeah, that's entirely possible. But anyway, now you know.
And I am just in time for my macadamia.
Oh, wow.
It is getting ready to bloom. It is covered. Now I know the word. It is covered in racemes right now.
Oh.
The fragrance of that thing's amazing.
There's a few racemes that are open on it, but most of it is just just hanging. It looks like a beaded doorway.
Right. Oh yeah.
A hippie beaded doorway.
Gotcha.
Can we say that?
Yeah, you did. So it's good.
You know what was in bloom when we were back in Florida? You'd never see them with that many flowers on it. Are the mangoes? I mean, they were absolutely covered with flower branches. I mean, to the point where you couldn't even recognize what kind of tree it was because you couldn't see the foliage on it.
Wow.
My sister-in-law had a neighbor had a big one in their front yard. Melanie had gone out for a walk in the morning. She actually thought it was when she first saw it. She thought it was a macadamia because the flowers are so full on it. They just hang off of it like macadamias do.
You know, I was sitting in a friend's backyard by his pool on St. Patrick's Day. It was 1 week ago tomorrow.
Right.
And I was looking across the wall at his neighbor's mangoes that were just starting to bloom. It was Mark's backyard.
Yeah.
There used to be one down on National Avenue in...
Yeah, National City.
Barrio Logan.
Oh, yeah.
It was just north of the bridge, and it was in between. There were a couple of old houses down there, and it was in between the two houses, and it was way taller than the roof line of the houses, and it was just covered with mangoes. It's a beautiful tree. I mean, it is a really, really pretty tree. Very tropical looking.
Right.
Just a really nice tree, but
there's a really nice mango tree in Kearney Mesa between Kearney High School and Carnival Market on Ashford Street. And every time I head over to Carnival Market, which is they have a nice prepared food area, I always point out that look at that beautiful mango tree.
Well, it's a pretty tree, but.
You don't like mangoes either?
That's common knowledge that I
know.
No, like
I didn't know about them. Well, I'd forgotten about
everybody
mangoes.
Talks about it.
Yeah, I don't like them.
What's wrong with mangoes?
I don't like them. I just don't. I have tried them all over the world. Whenever I go someplace tropical, I'll try a mango for wherever it's at, whether it's Australia or Fiji or New Zealand or wherever.
Hate them all equally?
Oh yeah, I don't like them. I don't. I mean, I could eat them if I had to.
Sugary sweetness.
It's the flavor of them. I don't like that flavor.
Maybe you've had bad mangoes all over the world.
Well, if I have really bad luck if that's the case. But no, not a fan. Not a fan of mangoes. And then no.
Oh my gosh, you are looking. The look on your face right now looks like you want to. Like
no,
it's making you
no, it's not. No, it's not that. It's not worse, making me. It's not than, making me sick. But
worse than beets?
They're right up there with beets.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I said, I can eat them if I have to, but I don't go out of my way to get mango chutney or mango salsa.
Oh, mango salsas.
No, no. Anyway, you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George has got the day off. You know what we have out in the native plant section right now? They look really nice, but they have not started blooming yet, are California poppies. But we have four different colors of California poppies.
Yeah, it's weird how that's changed over the years.
There's the regular orange or gold California poppy. Then we have red California poppies. We have purple California poppies, and we have white California poppies.
Wow.
I think California poppies should only be orange.
Right.
Well, they're the most popular ones.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you don't see fields of the purple and the red.
No,
like
you don't.
But it's neat. The gold one. But you look at the plants, they're all sitting next to each other in one-gallon containers. They all look exactly the same.
Right.
You know what I thought you were going to say when you were talking about the native section?
Mm-mm.
I thought you were going to take the opportunity to talk about ceanothus. Since we're seeing it blooming,
the ceanothus is
everywhere
in the county right now.
Yeah, everywhere.
It is absolutely gorgeous. That would be your California lilac.
The blue flowers that you see on all the hillsides around.
Right.
Yeah.
Along the 52, along the 8, along Campo Road, everywhere.
They are beautiful when they're in flower. Oh.
Another interesting native that we had out there that I don't know that I had seen before, Cuyamaca cypress. And it's apparently a rare native plant.
What do the blooms look like on that one, Mr. Anderson?
They don't look like anything because they don't have flowers on them.
Oh.
But it makes a good hedge. Said it'll make an excellent living Christmas tree as well. So if you want to...
Interesting. Yeah.
If you want to get started, we have some 1 gallons that you can grow into your own living Christmas tree. And they also like hot, dry climate.
Where would you find one of those around here?
I don't. Well, other than the native plant table at the nursery in Poway, I don't know.
Oh, no, no. I mean a hot, dry climate. Where would you find that?
Yeah, it'll grow just about anywhere.
Anywhere here.
Which I thought was interesting, since being with the name of Cuyamaca, I would have thought that it would have been up in the mountains.
Right.
Which I don't really picture as hot and dry.
In the summer it is. And then I think about heading east on the 8, and after you pass the Sunrise Highway and start dropping down, that's where I would picture it growing, all along from the Sunrise Highway out to the east before you drop down into the desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hot, dry area.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Another one that was out there, jojoba.
Think
you can get jojoba oil from. And I remember, I think it was about the time, it was in the 70s around the time of the gas crisis, jojoba got incredibly popular, and people were planting jojoba like crazy to get jojoba oil, which was supposed to be the next big thing.
Right.
And people were, planting, not just in their yards, but they were planting acres and acres and acres of it to get jojoba oil.
What do you do with jojoba oil?
I don't know. I don't know if you can use it as a fuel oil or what. I'd have to do some research on it. But I remember jojoba was that was a big deal for a while. Yeah, for a hot minute.
Right.
It was something else. But you don't hear too much about it anymore.
It can smooth and soften skin.
They do use it in cosmetics. Is that?
Yes, and good skin oils. Who knew? Thank you, Ken.
Well, there you go. If you're thinking about putting an avocado in your yard, we didn't get a lot, but we got some from Monrovia, some surprise avocados, which is a very good cultivar. And they're incredible. They're in 5-gallon containers. They are over 6 feet tall. It's like a small, well, it's actually like a not bad 15-gallon
yes,
size.
It is.
Wow. Wow.
I think we got about 10 of them.
And I'll have you all know, I purchased one last year, late last year. I think it was November or December. And I planted it yesterday. So it is in the ground now.
Oh.
Well, that's good.
Yes, I was very proud of me. And it still looks good. It's blooming and it's putting out new growth right now.
I'm glad to hear that you didn't kill it.
Yet. So,
yeah.
There's still time.
Yeah, if it's still alive, yeah, you still got a chance. We have started getting some calls. I've fielded a couple calls this week about people asking about GMO plants.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year.
It's that time of the year. People are putting their gardens in. I can tell you with with 99% certainty, you will not find a GMO plant in a garden center. Not just ours, but any garden center. The plants that are registered for use in the United States are generally not available on the retail market. There's not very many plants available. Period.
You had shown me a glowing plant or something.
The petunia. Yeah, the glowing petunia.
Yes.
Yeah. That you're not going to eat that.
No. But is that That's out a, and about? That, or?
Yeah. Well, it's available. We have some on order, but we have not gotten them yet. So I don't know when they are. I don't know what the ETA is on those. And those are not cheap either.
And what they have luminescence, bioluminescence in them?
Yeah, they glow in the dark.
That's pretty cool.
I've seen pictures of it. It looks really neat. So we'll see what happens when we get them.
But please don't eat the petunias.
Well, you wouldn't eat them anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a food crop. So anyway, you don't have the stuff that you're going to be planting in your yard that you can get at our nurseries or any nursery or garden center in California is not going to be GMO.
I guess we should address some labels of vegetables that we get in, say, not non-GMO. And that implies that the ones around them that don't have a label that says that are GMO.
But that is not correct.
No,
that is not correct. There are no of the GMO crops that are registered in the United States. You're not going to find them in a retail environment. So
whether it says non-GMO on the label or not.
Strawberries in full swing this time of the year. If you want to plant up a strawberry pot for your patio, it's a great way to grow them.
I had a customer in yesterday that was getting pots to put on a planter for flowers, but she didn't want to get flowers because her son likes strawberries, and strawberries are so expensive. So she bought strawberries to put in her flower pot on her planter so that he could have strawberries.
Well, that was very nice of her.
I thought so.
Yeah. And although it's a lot of strawberries.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't produce a tremendous amount. So, but
I guess I should have told her that, but
no.
She'll get some strawberries. Holy moly. I have a strawberry that's ripe at home.
Oh.
And if I get to it before the rats do, I'll enjoy it. One.
Just one?
Yeah.
And don't forget, we have classes today. They will be under roof, so you will not get wet if it's raining. In San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Tomatoes with Sierra and Kathleen. In Poway, it's going to be San Diego Spiders with Randy the Spider Guy. And it's at 9:30.
I'll have to ask him about house centipedes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not a spider, but
no.
You can ask him. So you've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Shelly Thomas, thank you for saving our bacon this morning. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay dry, stay safe.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.